Nothing can separate us from the love of God. What an incredible miracle that is. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And we will look at verses 35 through 39. We've been going through one of the greatest chapters in all Scripture, Romans chapter 8. We're coming to the close of this. And we talked last week about how the Apostle Paul asked some rhetorical questions. And he asked some questions to drive home the point of our security in Christ and the incredible love that God has for us. And the first question he asked last week, we talked about, was since God is for us, who can possibly be against us? I mean, if God's for you, who can raise up and beat you in anything? He says, that's just incredible. And the second question he says, if God graciously gave us his son to die on the cross for us, he said, will he not also give us all these other things? And then he came and he asked the third question. He says, who can bring any accusation against you? I mean, God himself is the one who justifies. He's the one that says that your sins have been forgiven, has put that verdict of innocence on you. So nobody can make any accusations if God is over here, the judge, and he's on your side. Then the last thing he asked was, who can condemn you? Who can condemn you? And he says, there's only one person that can condemn you, and it's Jesus Christ. And guess what he did? He died on the cross for you. He rose from the dead. He ascended to the Father. He's exalted. He's sovereign. He's majesty. And guess what he's doing? He's interceding for you and praying for you right now. He's just laying it on. And then he comes to the very last question that we come to today. And he says, who can separate us from the love of God? Who can separate us from the love of God? Now, if you've got your Bibles open, I want us to read this passage as we close out Romans chapter 8, starting in the 35th verse. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, and he quotes a psalm, he says, as it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, tell what I want us to do. I want us to walk through these verses, 35 through 39, and then we're going to just close our message by focusing in on really what verse 37 means. Are you ready? Verse 35. I love the fact that he asked the question when he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? He could have said, hey, no one can separate us from the love of Christ. And if he said that, we would probably go, okay. But when he asked the question, who can separate us from the love of Christ? It forces us to stop and think about that. Huh? Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Well, let me think about it. And you know what he did? He brought in all the adversities and all the adversaries he could think of. And he said, let me just throw these up to you and tell me, do you think these can separate you from the love of Christ? Look what he says. When he asked this question, the question does not concern my love for Christ, but of Christ's love for me. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? And so, who can do this? So what does he start out with? Look in verse 35. He starts out by saying, shall tribulation, distress, persecution. Tribulation, distress, persecution. All the things that come from this world that we live in. This is a hostile, ungodly world that we live in, and we experience tribulation, we experience distress, persecution. He says, shall these things separate us from the love of Christ? Then he comes and he goes a step further, and he says, shall famine or nakedness? He says, famine, not having enough food to eat, people that are starving. He says, well, that separates you from the love of Christ. Nakedness, lack of clothing. He said, well, that separates us from the love of Christ. And then he comes, or danger or sword. Danger means that my life is in danger. Sword, some people believe, means that my life is taken. So either as I'm running from death or experiencing death, will any of these things separate us from the love of God? Now, what's interesting is when you read through those things and you see Paul begin to list those adversities and the adversaries, you began to think, you know what? I wonder if he's experienced these things. Yeah. I mean, this guy is giving us a personal, firsthand look at what he's already gone through. Now, you still got your Bibles open. I want you to turn to the right to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. All right? 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at that for just a moment. And we want to go to the 23rd verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Remember Paul saying, oh, all the tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, all the dangers, all these things, the sword, all these things, can they separate us from the love of Christ? Now, in verse 23, he begins to give you a little bit of his testimony. And he says this, are they servants of Christ? He's talking about others. He says, I'm a better one. I'm talking like a madman with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. 1 night and 1 day I was adrift at sea. And on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Now, does that sound like a good life so far? That's what he's experienced. This is what Paul has experienced. Now, I just got to tell you, if Paul was alive today, the health and wealth preachers would not have him on this show, okay? They would fire their director. Hey, who'd you line up today? Hey, some guy named Paul. Hey, whoa. You don't want Paul on your show. Not coming in here talking about that. Hey, everything's great. You become a Christian. Everything's fine. Hey, just pray. You can get that $1 million. You know, all that kind of stuff. The Apostle Paul just kind of debunks that. Let me tell you what I've been going through. And he's asking the question right here. And he says, hey, listen, believers in Rome, who can separate you from the love of Christ? Can all of these things? He says, I've been there. Been there, done that. I've gone through all of that. And then he takes an Old Testament psalm, Psalm 44, verse 22. And in this psalm, he quotes, and this is what they say, for your sake, God, we are being killed all day long. We're regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. They were not turning away from God and getting punished. They were being punished because they served God. And there were people on the outside who were punishing them. And he says, you know, even though you go through danger, even though you go through toil, even though you go through tribulation, he says, nothing can separate us from the love of God and from the love of Christ. And this was important because these Roman Christians were either going through that persecution or getting ready to go through that persecution. And he wanted to let them know that when you go through tough times and when these times come into your life, nothing can separate us from the love of God. That is a great word. Well, then he answers the question in verse 37. Can anything separate us from the love of Christ? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. In all these things, you go back up to verse 35, all these things, tribulation, distress, persecution, pain, misery, all these things, we are more than conquerors in Christ. I was intrigued by that phrase, more than conquerors. What do you mean, more than conquerors? Well, as you know, the New Testament is written in Greek. And there is one word for more than conquerors, okay? And it's like hupernikeo. I think that's close enough I can get it. Yep, hupernikeo. And hupernikeo, you say, why do you throw that out? Because it's a compound word. Huper, set it over here. Nikeo, put it over here. Now, nikeo is a word that means to conquer. It means to overcome. It means to vanquish someone. It means to be victorious. Whenever you see the word hooper put to that, it adds to it. Hooper means over and above, okay? It means kind of like taking it to another level. So he didn't say you're just a conqueror. He says you're hooper, Nikeo. You are more than conquerors. It's not like you just eked by. I started thinking about it. It's not like the Alabama-Arkansas game when John Parker threw that pass and they caught a touchdown with, less than 10 seconds or so left in the game to beat Arkansas. It wasn't like Auburn's field goal kicker kicking that last-second field goal and beating Florida. You know, you go, oh, yeah, we conquered. No, that's just eking by a win. This is talking about like when Cumberland played Georgia Tech a long time ago and Georgia Tech beat them 220-0, okay? This is what we're talking about, okay? We're talking about more than conquerors. We're talking about the foot on the throat and you stay on the throat. I mean, we triumphed over it. We're more than conquerors. And when these things come into our life, it's not like, oh, I just hope I can get by. Hope we can just eke by this situation. Hope God's strong enough to just get me past the next day. Not saying that at all. He says, you take all of these things. We are more than conquerors. We're going to triumph over this. He says, we're more than conquerors over this. And we're going to come back and revisit it. And we do that through him who loved us. He says, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. The verb tense of that points to a point in time, which alludes to the cross. Through him who loved us. What is the greatest expression of love that God has ever shown us? He sent us his son. And what was the greatest expression of love that his son ever did for us? It's the cross. He died on the cross for us. And so he alludes back to that. And he says, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And it was that point in time at the cross. That's why every sermon you hear, I say, I don't care what subject we're on, I'll always tie it back to the cross sometime. Because that is the gospel message. And that is the love of God when he gave his son to die on that cross for us. And he says, we are more than conquerors through that love. All right? Now, then he comes back in verse 38 and he's wrapping it up. And he says, for I am sure, that means I am convinced, my personal conviction is this. I have seen it work before and it carries on into the future. I am convinced that neither death nor life, there are two existences that you will have. You'll either be alive or dead. Aren't you so glad you came here this morning to learn that? All right. I mean, that's it. You're either alive or you're dead. And he says, whether in death or life. Then he comes back and he says, the next thing is nor angels nor rulers. Now that word rulers is the same word that has been used for like evil principalities. Ephesians 6:12, when it says that we wrestle with evil rulers and principalities, spiritual rulers, that's where that word comes from. And so he says, whether you're talking about angels, good angels, or you're talking about evil principalities, things that are in the spirit cosmic dimension, he says, doesn't matter if you got life or death, whether you got angels or rulers, and he says, nor things present, nor things to come. Talking about time. Nor things right now, or things to come. Whether it's the unpredictability of the instability of what's happening today, or the uncertainty of what's going to happen tomorrow, none of these things. None of these things can separate us from the love of God. Then he comes back and he says, nor powers. Coming back again to those cosmic powers. And he says, nor height, nor depth. Things that are above us, things that are below us. None of these things. Now, I couldn't help but think about this. When he's going through, not this, not that, not this, not that, not this, nor height, nor depth. Now, this thought came to me when I was doing the 5-mile village-to-village run yesterday. So you know that sometimes I was probably asphyxiating or something, losing my head. But what I thought of, you know what song I thought of on there? Ain't No Mountain High Enough. Isn't that right? Keith, he's up to it. He'll be singing it. You know, I thought about that Temptation song, that Diana Ross song, right? They said, ain't no mountain high enough. Ow! You know? And it says, ain't no mountain high enough. Ain't no valley low enough. Ain't no river wide enough to keep me from you, right? That's what Paul was singing. Paul and the Paulettes were back here. They would have been singing that song. And they would have been singing about God. They said, hey, there ain't no mountain high enough that can separate me from you. There's no valley low enough that can separate me from you. There's no river wide enough that can separate me from you. And then just to make sure that he covered all his bases, look what he says at the middle of verse 39. Nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation. Nothing else. Just in case I didn't cover everything. Nothing in all creation shall do what? will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? That is a great word. That it does not matter what you go through, what situation you're hit with, whatever happens in your life, no matter how many times you drop the ball, it says nothing can separate us from the love of God. And what he wants us to know here is that when these things begin to enter our lives, whether it be sickness, whether it be disappointment, whether it be situations that we just can't believe we're confronted with, whether it be a loss of a job, whatever it is, when these things come into our life, sometimes people say, oh, God must be mad at me and he doesn't love me. No. God allows things to come into our lives to sharpen us and to help us to be able to be molded and shaped and conformed to the image of Christ. And through all of that, he still loves us. And we got to know that. And that, so we have that certainty of the fact that God loves us. Now, you go back to verse 37. Verse 37, he says, we are more than conquerors. What does it mean? What does it mean to be more than conquerors? Very quickly, I'm just going to give you four things to think about. Are you ready? Number one, our confidence is in his love for us. I would write that down. How can you become, why are you more than a conqueror in whatever the situation is that comes into your life? It is because our confidence is in his love for us. Our confidence is not in our love for him. That is fickle, that is fleeting, and it's faltering. But it is in his love for us, which is steadfast, it is faithful, and is persevering. Our confidence is in his love for us. Now, in all the uncertainties of human life, there are some things you can take to the bank. And one of those is the certainty of God's love for us and the fact that God has called us, he's chosen us, and as we receive him as Savior, he says, you are a part of my family, and I'm not going to let you go. You can bank on it, folks. That's the greatest assurance. We are more than conquerors. Because our confidence is in his love for us, okay? When we look at the cross and we look at the empty tomb, we see what Christ has done for us in humanity. And that's a wonderful manifestation of God's love. And so I can be a more than conqueror because my confidence is in his love for us. Number two, I think this is real important. We're not being delivered from these things, but we're being triumphant in all these things. Give you a moment to write that one down. Being more than conquerors does not mean that I'm just being delivered from these things, but it means that we're being triumphant in all these things. Now, Christians are not guaranteed immunity to temptation, to tribulation, or to tragedy. But we are promised victory over every one of those. God's pledge is not that suffering will never afflict us. His pledge is that we will never be separated from his love. Afflictions will come. Difficulties will happen. And God says, you will go through those times, but you will never be separated from my love. We are more than conquerors in the face of every possible development, every situation that comes into your life, every circumstance, every diagnosis, every desire, every disaster. And this passage is about real life. And it talks about not being delivered from all these things, but being triumphant in all these things. So there's no promise that you're going to be delivered from every hardship of life. But there is a promise in the Bible that says you will be triumphant in all these things of life. And even as Paul went through his litany of all the things that he went through, he could still say, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. Tough times are going to happen, folks. Just because you accept Christ as Savior doesn't mean you get a free pass on afflictions. That's a part of life. And God says it's going to happen, but you know what? When you walk through those times, I'm right there with you. And I have got a love for you that will allow you to be a conqueror, to be triumphant through him, through the power of Christ. No matter what your personal ground zero is, you can look to Christ and say, I'm in your hands. And even at that moment, you are more than a conqueror. See, the great thing about this passage, it says we've got a divine defender that's there defending for us. We've got a divine advocate that's praying for us. And we have divine love that's holding on to us. Folks, it's not so much how hard we can hold on to God. It's how firm his grasp is as he holds on to us. And we can be more than conquerors. You see, what it's so great about when Paul begins to ask these questions about who shall separate us from the love of Christ, he's shifting the focus off of ourselves and puts it on what God has done for us. We are able to be more than conquerors because of what God has done for us. His action as a divine defender, a divine attorney, a one with divine love, he will not allow me to go and to say, I just can't overcome this thing. But he will allow me to say, yes, we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors. And we can be triumphant over these things. I tell you, the testimonies, we would be here too long. If I asked people in this congregation stand up and walk through their testimony of how they were triumphant through difficult times. I mean, it's amazing. I was going back over some things of people in our church and what they had gone through. And we've got someone going through it right now. You know, we've got a lady on our staff, Lottie Nunley. And Lottie Nunley in our preschool staff went in for surgery and they found cancer in a lung and had to remove the lung. And they're still doing tests and they're going to have to do some chemo and some other type of treatments on there. And her husband, Mark, he's head of our ushers. Mark walked through cancer a few years ago and they won that battle. And to hear to read the emails that were sent when the test first came and then as she's gone through the surgery and even today as she's getting better and better, it's just a testimony of being people that says we are more than conquerors. And we're not blaming God for the affliction. We're not questioning him, why us? All we're saying is that God is teaching us new things every day as we walk through this journey. And in one of his emails, he said, we count it a privilege to walk through this journey. A privilege to walk through this journey. And because we're learning so much more about our Lord. And we're experiencing the love that he has for us. Listen, we are more than conquerors. All right, let me tell you number three. Number three is to follow the example of Christ our leader. We are more than conquerors when we follow the example of Christ our leader. You see, when he talks about here that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us, it goes through him. And see, Christ himself suffered and provided us the example of how he suffered, but yet he overcame, he triumphed. And there's also wonderful stories all through Scripture of people, and not just Scripture, but since that time, of people who have been martyred for the faith. People who have had to make stands for Christ. People who were energized by the Holy Spirit, and he girded them up, and he gave them the strength to make it through whatever that situation was. See, Christ is our leader, and we can follow him through there. Okay, let me tell you the last thing. What does it mean to be more than a conqueror? After the battle, we emerge stronger than we were before. Now, folks, this is huge. After the battle, we emerge stronger than before. People always say, why does God allow hardships to come into our life? We need to understand this on the front end. In the sovereignty of God, God does not allow anything, that nothing can happen to our life that God has not filtered. It is not filtered through the sovereignty of God. Now, these are things that we don't fully understand. But yet we do know that in his sovereignty, in his love for us, that nothing happens to where God goes, wow, sure didn't know that was coming. You know, God never gets blindsided. There's nothing that ever happens that he goes, man, I wish I'd known about that. I wish you'd give me a heads up on that. Nothing happens that doesn't filter through his sovereignty. Now, as that happens, when he allows these things to happen, when they begin to happen, he uses all of those incidents in our life to conform us to the image of Christ. And when we go through some of these battles, you know what happens? We emerge stronger than we were before. It never fails. You go stronger than you were before. Throughout a battle, your resources begin to improve. Every grace of the Spirit is matured. Your faith is strengthened. Your love is expanded. Your experience is deepened. Your knowledge is increased. And all of a sudden, you've discovered where you're weak and you depend on his strength. And then all of a sudden you begin to learn more what it means to depend on Him and to rest on Him. And when you put that whole armor of God on, and as soon as you put that armor of God on, you begin to sense that strength that He gives us. Because you realize that when you put on that belt of integrity and of truth, it's the truth of God's word that you have. And then you know that when you put on that breastplate of righteousness, it's the righteousness of Christ that's been imputed into you. And so, okay, you realize that that's His power. And then you put on the shoes of peace, and it's the peace that passes all understanding that He gives you to help you to make it through your day. And then all of a sudden you put the helmet on salvation that will protect your head, and you realize that it's a salvation that God offers to us, that I can put that helmet on to get me ready to go into the battle. And He says, I want you to pick up that shield of faith. And when I pick up that shield of faith, it says that it'll extinguish all the fiery darts. And whatever it is that Satan throws at me, I realize that through my faith in God that He's already there for me and He'll protect me. And then He says, I want you to strap on the sword, the word of God. And I realize that when I go into the battle, I'm not going in by myself, but I'm taking the word of God with me. And you see, all these things add together. And when all these things add together, I realize that it is the power of God that helps me to be more than conquerors. And I realize that when I go through the battle, I've emerged stronger than I was before. Because now I know how to use that sword better. Now I know how to use that shield of faith better. Now I understand what it means to have that breastplate of righteousness. I know the areas I'm weak and I need His strength. I understand His love better than I've ever understood it before. I've understood what it meant to lean on Him more than I've ever done before. And that's why those that go through difficult times have such an amazing strength about them. You say, where did you get that from? And they tell you, well, I got it through the experiences of life and through some of the tough times. And where I had to lean on God, and God showed me things and strengthened me in ways that I would have never guessed before. We are more than conquerors, and we are to stand firm. Listen, my hope and prayer is that you would be able to stand firm. You know, the Bible talks about, it says a number of times that we're to stand firm. In fact, it talks about even when we put on the spiritual armor and that when we wrestle with those principalities, when you've done all, you just need to stand. Because see, folks, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. I don't know what it is that you're going through today. I don't know what the difficulty is. I don't know what maybe your diagnosis is. I don't know what your situation is. I don't know what the disaster is that's happened in your home. I don't know what the affliction is. I don't know what the adversity is. But when these things happen to us, it is not a time for us to throw our hands up and say, where's God? It is a time for us to embrace Him more than ever, because He says, nothing will separate you from my love. And if something is happening to you, you just got to know that I, as your Heavenly Father, have an incredible love for you, and I'm watching over you, and I'm going to be there. I'm going to walk with you through that, and it could be some painful times, but you just hold on to me, because you know what? You can be more than conquerors on that. You will be triumphant. The goal is not just for you to eke by. The goal is for you to triumph. And when you're able to triumph, that's Hallelujah Chorus time. You say, man, that's great. You know, I read a story about an older pastor. His name was Eugene Smith. Eugene was a minister who liked music, but he couldn't sing worth anything. He didn't know how to read music. And he didn't really have a good voice. But at Christmas time, his daughter pushed him, encouraged him to sing. And she says, you need to sing with the Hallelujah Chorus with the choir. And so he did, and he went, and he sang the Hallelujah Chorus. And his favorite part was when they did all the hallelujahs. And they go, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I mean, they're just throwing hallelujahs out left and right. And he's all over it, and he's hallelujahing, and he's really having a good time. And just as he's getting fired up about it, the choir director stops it. And the choir stops, and the organ stops. You know how the thing kind of, boom, it just ends. And afterwards, he said to his daughter and his friends, he says, you know what? I still had a couple of hallelujahs in me. That I wanted to sing. And then he told them this. He said, I'm walking all throughout my life, and he says, as I'm walking through my life, I've still got some couple hallelujahs in me that I'm just wanting to get out. That's a great way to live, isn't it? I've still got some hallelujahs in my life that I'm just ready to get out. Listen, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And may this day be a day that you can say, I've got some hallelujahs in me because we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, who loved me, gave himself for me, so that I could have eternal life. Okay? Let me ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes for just a moment. Lord, we are so thankful for this day. Lord, I'm thankful for Scripture and for the promises that we have that we can be more than conquerors. Lord, I thank you for what Jesus has done for us on the cross, and that because of his death and his resurrection, that we can be children of God, and that we can have a life that is fulfilling and purposeful here on earth, and to know that one day when we step out of this world, we'll step into eternity, your eternity, to spend eternity with you forever. And so, Lord, I pray for each one that's here today, whatever their life situation is, may your Holy Spirit speak to them. May it be very clear what steps you want them to take. And may they have a boldness to take those. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.